Go get one of the Katina's CDs when you leave. Amen. Take those brothers home. Amen. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, the first page of the whole Bible. The first page. You can't miss it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. I remember, y'all remember me, I went to speak at the an event that appeared to be sponsored by The Secret a few weeks ago at the sports arena, and got a lot of flack for going there. And I got a phone call today from someone who was talking to the person who organized it, and he said he's been getting all these phone calls from Buddhists and Muslims and all these people from different religions saying they want to come to The Rock, check out what's going on, because they heard the gospel and they want to come. So it was a blessing. They go, we don't care what kind of religion that brother. We want to go check out what's going on over there. So we you know, anytime you have an opportunity to take the gospel where people don't think it's supposed to be, you need to go. Okay, that needs to be the norm, not what the culture thinks and what people think. And if we all got out more, that wouldn't be such an odd thing that I was over there. So anyway, it was a blessing to be there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. We pray you bless us. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to sing to you, no matter, and we thank you that you don't care what we sound like. You just care that our heart is crying out to you, wanting to be close to you, wanting to tell you how much we appreciate you. And I pray that you would set us free more and more each day, that we would worship and obey you without any fear and inhibition on our being. May our whole being, every cell and every molecule cry out and say we love you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. I was at a football game yesterday. My son was playing flag football out at some football field, and I was out there watching, and this lady comes up to me with her little son, who was about 5 years old, and her daughter, who's like three, give or take. And she says to me, you know, my son wants to meet you. They go to church here, but he goes to the Pebbles, and she comes in here. So she calls this, he calls this her, his mom's church, and then he has his own church down the hall. So he said, I want to meet the pastor of your church, and I want to come over and meet, you know, and shake his hand. So she came over, and he had his hair all you know, bro creamed up. And so I shook his hand. I said, you want to take a picture? We took a picture. And I said to his sister, do you want to take a picture? And she started hiding her face behind her mother's leg. You know, she didn't want to take a picture. I said, you know, come on, take a picture. You know, she just kind of fronted me off. And I said, all right, you know, whatever. So she didn't want to take a picture. I started thinking about how little kids are always hugged up to their parents, specifically their mom, and how their mom is like their security blanket. Matter of fact, if you ever go to the park and watch moms take care of kids versus dads, like dads will just say, okay, go ahead, little kids, I'll be over here, see you in a couple hours. Not moms. Moms know where those kids are at every second of the day. They got this like invisible, this Darth Vader force umbilical cord. They know where all their kids are all the time. And they just feel it. Why is that? I'm going to tell you why. One reason, it's my opinion, it's probably a whole bunch of reasons, but one of the reasons why is because the baby came from the mom. The baby came from the mom. The same flesh and blood for 9 months. And there's a connection there that simply dads don't have. It's not a bad thing, it just is. My wife, we have three children, 19, 21, 22. She still has that connection. 1 o'clock in the morning, last night, my son was out on some, you know, date with his girlfriend, and they went to some dance, and she's on the phone at 1 o'clock in the morning texting. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm just making sure he's okay. I said, cut the umbilical cord. The boy got a license. He's driving. Cut the cord. The cord will never be cut. Why? Because he came from her. He didn't come from me. So what am I doing at 1 o'clock in the morning? God created the heavens and the earth. He created the birds, the fish, the animals. And he created man. And when he created man, we're going to see in a minute that man was all alone. Adam. And he says, I am going to give you a wife, but I'm going to take her from you. She's going to come from you. Your wife is going to come from you. And all your life, you are going to want to be joined back to her. God made man in his image, and he made woman in his image. And when he made the woman, he took the woman out of the man, and all the woman's life and all the man's life, they strive to be joined back together again. All your life, you want a girlfriend, you want a boyfriend, you want love, you want intimacy, you want someone to hold you. Why? You are seeking and pursuing your full God image. Today, we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about the union of a man and woman. Today, all around California, there are pastors preaching a pre-Valentine's marriage sermon. Why? Because in the year 2000, Prop 22 was passed that marriage would be between a man and a woman. On March 4th, next month, the Supreme Court of California is going to hear a case and probably within 90 days of that overturn Prop 22 and say that marriage between a man is legal and a woman is legal. Therefore, the people of California, are collecting 1 million signatures to put a referendum on the ballot in November that if we vote in, we will change the Constitution of the state of California to read Prop 22 language that marriage would always be between a man and a woman, end the story once and for all. So we're going to talk about marriage today, and we're going to seal it in the books. But it's very important for us to understand why we're doing this in the first place, because after all, if two people love each other, why shouldn't they be able to get married? You hear that all the time. What is the big deal? If two people love each other, why should they get married? Well, that's a good question. What if I love my brother? Can I marry my brother? Well, who are you to say that? What if I love my daughter? Why can't I marry my daughter? Well, who are you to say that I can't? There has to be a rule to say this person can and this person can't. Because if you say two men can, then you might as well say I can marry my kid. Or I can marry my mother. Well, of course you can't, but why? Not just because. You can't just say just because. To anything, you have to have a rule. And by the way, if a church says we don't agree with that, should a church be forced to marry people that their Bible or belief system says they shouldn't? Well, this government of the United States is saying we are going to override all that, and we're going to make you do what you don't want to do, and we're going to take your license if you don't. That is what's already started happening in the United States of America. It's already been around the world. There's been pastors arrested for saying what I'm going to say to you today, simply that homosexuality is wrong. Not even what I'm going to say. I'm going to say a whole lot more than that. There have been pastors arrested outside of this country, and it's coming to this country. There have been churches in this country and chapel, we're going to tell you in a few minutes, that had their license removed because they wouldn't marry a gay couple. So what the government's going to do is come and say, we don't care what your rules are. We're going to tell you what you have to do. So we have to stop it, because if that happens, churches are going to close left and right. And what happens to our nation after that happens? This is what's going on. Now, first we have to understand who's the fight against. The fight is not against gay people. Let there be no mistake. This is not against gay people. This is against something higher than that. Because for the record, Jesus loves gay people. He loves heterosexual people. But they're both sinners. They're both sinners. And we all both have to repent and follow Christ according to his rules, not our own. So when you come to God, don't come to God with conditions. Well, here's who I am, and I'm not going to change. That's where the problems begins. You got to come to God and say, God, I'm wrong. And if you're having sex outside of marriage and you're heterosexual, you're a sinner too. If you're cheating on your wife, you're a sinner too. So he's an equal opportunity thing. Here's who the enemy is. It's the devil. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Understand this, please. And this is why we have to talk about this in church, because you need to understand this is not a civil government issue. Nah, it's a spiritual issue. And the attack is not from the gay lobby, the liberal left, or the Democrats, or the Republicans, or whoever you don't like. That's not the issue. The issue is the devil. And you are going to hopefully learn tonight why we know it's from the devil, and how we need to fight it, and why it's so critical that we fight it biblically, and with every mechanism that God has given us. What is the devil trying to do? One, he's trying to normalize homosexuality, to say it's as normal behavior as everything else, and we're going to see that that's just not the case. Two, he's going to try to criminalize and demonize the Word of God and pastors. Why? Because anytime you talk against somebody, you're a bad person. Listen how hypocritical is that. Christian, you're a bad person because you're not agreeing with me. Well, let me put the mirror up and show you what you're doing. You're not agreeing with me. So why is your disagreement okay and my disagreement is not? They're trying to demonize and criminalize the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, and they will do that. In other words, they will say, if you preach Romans 1, It talks about homosexuality being an abomination. If you preach that, you will lose your license. You will go to jail. In Canada today, it's been this way for years, if you preach Romans 1, which is the most famous and most blatant condemnation of homosexuality, if you preach that, you will go to jail today, right north of our border. If you put it on the radio, you will go to jail, lose your license. That is coming to the United States of America. You say, what about freedom of speech, freedom of religion? You don't have freedom of speech. You can't go to a movie theater and yell fire today. You don't have the freedom to say whatever you want, whenever you want. If they deem your speech harmful, they can deem your speech illegal. So they will deem this speech, and I'm telling you now, illegal. At some point, we hope not, but that is what's coming to a church near you. So we have to fight it, because we have to be aware. We spent, me and two attorneys and two other pastors and another woman spent 2 days last week going to churches in Orange County, L.A., San Bernardino County, trying to tell them about this petition. And you know what? They were sitting there going, we don't know what you're talking about. They weren't showing up. They were like, what's the problem? You guys don't understand what's going to happen? You are going to lose your church. This is what's going on right in our country. And the devil's going, yeah, stay ignorant, Christians. Stay blind. Go about your business. Let us have it. Okay? Now, one of the first things you have to do is you have to decide, what is the basis of right and wrong? Because some of y'all are sitting here right now going, man, this is a bunch of garbage. Why don't they just leave those people alone? They're wrong. Well, whenever you say that, or if you say someone's right, you have to decide, what is the basis of right and wrong for you? In other words, am I wrong or right because you feel like I am? Well, your feeling is irrelevant. You can't make decisions about right and wrong because of your feeling, because we all have different feelings, and our feelings change day to day. It's not constant enough. It would be chaos if it was all about feeling. There are people in prison right now because they felt like raping somebody. You can't go by your feeling. Is it majority rules? Might makes right? If you got power, you got the biggest guns and the biggest bombs, you are right? Well, guess what? Only 1.4% of women and 2.8% of men are gay. That means everybody else is not gay. So why is it that we're being bullied by them? It certainly ain't Mike's right. Now, do they have power? Oh, yeah. They ain't no oppressed people. They are controlling the government and the media. They got incredible power and incredible influence. So it ain't about that. What makes something right is God. It's God. I was talking to somebody the other day about this. They said, well, you know, God can't be in everything. I said, let me tell you something. If you take God and the Bible out, therefore murder is no longer right or wrong because God's the one who said murder is wrong. If you take God out, rape is no longer wrong. Child molestation is no longer wrong. Lying, cheating, and stealing and adultery is no longer wrong. Take the Bible out of society and you have complete anarchy. So if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. All that stuff comes from the Bible. Didn't you know that? And when you hear someone say, well, we don't want the Bible, well, then you can't ever be truthful ever again. You can't ever be a person of character. You can't ever be a person of honesty. You can't ever hard work, because all that comes from the Bible and all that comes from God. Don't ever do business ethically again. Don't ever be truthful. It all comes from the Bible. So we're going to establish today that, one, that the Bible is the basis of truth, and we are going to prove that the Bible is right. If you are objectively and you are fair to the information given you today. Number one in your notes, male and female are distinct expressions of the image of God. Everyone say expression. Male and female are distinct, unique, beautiful, wonderful, well thought out expressions of the image of God. Chapter 1, verse 26 says, then God said, let us, everyone say us, make man in our image, say our, and in our likeness, say our. Who's us and our? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right there in the first chapter of the Bible. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds of the sea, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over every creep that creeps on the earth. So God said he's going to make man in his image and in their likeness, okay? Everyone say man. The real true word is Adam or humankind. Let us make humankind in our image. Okay? Look what it says in verse 27. So God created man or Adam in his image, and in the image of him, God, he created him, both male and female. What we're going to see is that God created man in his image, both male and female. Fellas, you were created in the image of God. You have the ability to have a relationship with God. You have the ability to be creative. You have the ability to have dominion. You have your ability to love and to encourage and to be positive. You have the ability to acknowledge that you are a unique being, unlike any other creature on the planet. Ladies, same thing. You have the ability to be creative. You have the ability to have dominion. You have the ability to love and cherish and the ability to acknowledge yourself as one of a kind, especially ladies, because y'all are very particular about that. All ladies say hey. And even your heyness came from God. God gave it to you, and he made you very different from man. He don't want you to be like man. Don't want the man to be like you. He wants you to be different because through you and your uniqueness, God's image is seen. You need to understand that. Don't try to blend in. Be what he made you. Be what he made you. If you got a sense of humor, laugh. I was at a San Diego State game, and this young lady, I hope she's here today. I'm not going to say her name, but she was sitting behind me. Never met her before. She was sitting like five rows behind me, and she was yelling in the game. This woman's, she was 19, 20 years old. I'm looking at for the speakers up at the, see those speakers up there? She was loud. I mean loud. So loud, we were underneath the plaza section. It was concrete above us. Her voice was like vibrating the stadium concrete. I literally turned around and said, wow. I says, how did you get that? She says, I used to be a cheerleader. I says, you need to be on the team, girlfriend. You know what she said? God gave me a big mouth and I'm using it. That's what her actions was saying. She said, hey, I'm not ashamed. I got a loud voice. And she was using it to cheer her team on. God made you unique. In your notes, it tells you that SB 777 is Senate Bill 777. It went into effect January 1, just past 60 days ago, here in the state of California, that when a little boy goes to school, he is not necessarily a little boy. Starting at the age of 5, when a little girl goes to school, she is not necessarily a little girl, because between the age of 5 and high school, all the way through preschool, whatever 5 years old is, all the way up to 12th grade in school, anytime during that time, a little boy thinks he feels like he's a girl, he's a girl. Start as far as the school system goes. So a little boy, 6 years old, says, Miss First Grade Teacher, I think I'm a girl today. They have to accommodate him. This is a fact today in California. 12 years old, I think I'm a little girl, but really he's a boy. They have to accommodate him. A little girl who's 13 thinks I'm a little boy. They have to accommodate her. And if a little boy thinks he's a little girl, guess what? They got to let him go in the girl's bathroom. Let him go to the girl's locker room. Let him be a cheerleader or a homecoming queen today in California. You know what God says? I made you man and I made you woman, a distinct expression of my image. And what the devil says is, I am going to distort that. And so he created this thing called cross-genderism. You are not cross-gender. If God made you a woman, that's what you are. God did not make a mistake with you. Oh, this is a man in a woman's body. Oh, no, you are a man in a man's body. You're a man in a man's body. What the devil says, no, we need to let them be whatever. And guess what? If you can let them be whatever, let me do whatever. If we start doing whatever, we got chaos. And but really, it's not a human rights thing. This is a spiritual thing. Because what the devil wants to do is take this wonderful creature called a man, or this wonderful design creature called a woman. And this is a joke, by the way. God made man, saw everything he did wrong, and then he made woman, and he got it right. But anyway, that's another thing. He says, this wonderful creature called a man. Don't clap too loud, ladies, because I'm going to get you back. And then he made this wonderful creature called a woman, and the devil comes along and says, I need to confuse that. I need to destroy that. So he created this one thing called cross-genderism. If you're confused about what you are, let me clear it up for you. You're a boy or a girl, whatever the doctor said, because it didn't take him but a second to figure it out. When you came out, bing, boy, bing, girl, it was done, that was it. Because God did not make a mistake. And when he made you, he gave you everything necessary to be what you are, that you may glorify him in his image. Number 2 in your notes. God intentionally created us male and female for a marriage relationship. He created you male and female for a marriage relationship. He created you to be compatible that you may become one. Let's read chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 15, my bad. Chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, and the Lord God commanded the man, or Adam, or mankind, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, lest you die. Verse 18, and God said, it is not good that Adam, humankind, should be alone. Fellas, it's not good that we be alone. Say amen. You know what I'm saying? We know there's some frustrated brothers up in here. I don't want to be alone. The Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. He said, here is humankind, one individual, person, humankind, Adam. It's not good you should be alone. So look what he says. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not felt a helper comparable to him. What happened was God brought him all the animals and says, I'm going to choose and bring you an animal with which you can become one with and reflect my image. Brought him a gorilla. Ho, ho, ho. He said, Lord, that's a gorilla, but a little too hairy for a brother. Okay, keep that away. Brought him a giraffe, said, neck's too long. I can't get with that. Brought him an elephant, said, nose too long. Can't get with that. And Adam realized that he was the image of God. He says, none of those things are compatible to me. None of those things are compatible to me. So look what happened. Verse 21. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took out one of its ribs. Everyone say ribs. And he closed the flesh in his place. Say flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a, whoa, man. When he saw Eve, he said, whoa, man. That's what I'm talking about, God. Now you're talking. And he brought it to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. Say bone of my bone. Say flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Say woman. Say whoa, man. Because she was taken from the man. What happened was, here's Adam. He is made in the image of God. And God says, I am going to take your wife from you. I am going to take your companion from you. I am going to take the only compatible mate from you. And both of you are in my image. And when you are one like I originally called you, that's when you experience the fullness of my image. Now, you're both designed distinctly in my image. But when you're one, that's the fullness of my image. You're back to where I originally had you in the beginning. Ladies, God took you and made you a womb man, a womb human. When God gave you that womb, he gave you everything to go with that womb. Why? Because that womb is with that womb you were going to do what God does, is bring life into the earth. You're going to make life. And he gave you everything hormonally, mentally, physically to sustain that life and care for that life. Please don't take this wrong, but the reason women have a little more body fat than men is to protect the baby. Really, to protect the baby, to sustain the baby. Don't get hung up on it. Just let it flow, girl. Let it flow, okay? I'm serious. God gave it to you for a reason. Everything's by design. Everything's by design. Even ladies, take a deep breath in. Say, meow. Okay. Even that. Protect those little babies. I'm serious. I'm not lying. So God says, I'm going to make a man. I'm going to make a woman. And guess what? When they are joined as one flesh, they are back to where they started, and they are expressing the full image of God. When God made a woman and he made a man, he says, I wanted you to go back together again. He did not make a woman and then make a man to be compatible with and then have the man go to be another man. Or have the woman go find another woman. He said, no. That's your body. That's your own flesh. Ephesians 5 says, if you love your wife, you love yourself. Your wife is part of you. And so God said, that's what I wanted for marriage. Look, let's keep reading. Look what it says next. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his what? His wife. And they shall become one flesh again, as they were in the beginning. And they were both naked and they were not ashamed. Look at number 3 in your notes. Jesus also affirmed male and female for marriage. Male and female marriage. Jesus also affirmed male and female marriage. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. Here's Satan's intent. How do I destroy the identity of a man, the identity of a woman? Cross-genderism, that's a good one. How do I destroy the ultimate image of God? A man serving a woman and a woman serving the man, loving each other and bringing another life into this earth. I destroy marriage. That is what we're talking about. This is not an issue of being fair. God is not fair. He's right. How do you decide fair? It's based on your opinion. God's opinion is right. This is about being right. God knows more information than we do. God is the one who designed you. He created you. And with his design came intent. He designed you with a specific intent. And that intent leads to your purpose. What the devil wants to do is come and repurpose you according not to your design. When you use something not according to a design, you have problems. Go put sand in your gas tank. You have problems. Go try to eat dirt. You have problems. You have to be used, your body, and everything that God has given you according to the way he designed it, because he's the one who created it. Well, God didn't create me. Well, where did you come from then? Well, I just grew out of the ground. Please. Where did you see anything ever grow out of the ground without a design? Even a tree grows out of the ground because it has a seed, and the seed has technology. And that technology in the seed, by the way, think about it. A seed has specific technology to do one thing. Take out of the dirt. To take out of the dirt. Everything necessary to make a tree that's going to make a plant, a fruit, just like that, it was. Think how much technology that is. You can't do that. God could do that. Number four in your notes, sex is a union of shameless oneness between a married woman and a married man. Sex is a union of shameless oneness between a married man and a married woman. Everyone say shameless. Oneness. Remember, Adam, he takes the woman from the man. The woman and the man crave to be together again. That's why ever since you can remember, you were looking for your girlfriend or your boyfriend or some guy that was going to sweep you away and be your husband or some woman was going to be your wife. I remember as far back as I can remember, 10, 8, 9 years old, I was looking for my wife. Why? Because I was looking for my Eve. Why? Because that was going to be the fulfillment of my God image, at least part of it, a very strong part of it. Look what it says in verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh like they were born in the beginning, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You know what that says? Is that when the man and woman get married, and they come together to consummate that marriage, that is shameless oneness. They are experiencing oneness. They are experiencing the God image. That's why it is so wonderful. Well, if this is wrong, I don't want to be right. Oh, it is the bomb. And don't you know, wouldn't it figure that God would make union with your Adam or your Eve, oneness in the fullness of God's image, wouldn't it make sense that that would be the most incredible feeling on the planet? Can I get an amen from the married people? Man, woman, come together. They experienced the oneness that they had from the beginning. They experienced the oneness that God created them from the beginning. And guess what? It's in that moment that you have union, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Your union in your deepest being, you are one. That is why when you do that, and outside of the context of marriage, it hurts. Eventually, it hurts. Ladies, you know, you've been with a guy, even if you liked him, something wasn't right. We're not even talking about the guys who left you or mistreated you. We're not talking about that. Even the guys you felt close to. Now, you might have felt more close to them. Why? Because your souls were united. But still, something ain't right. Why? Because you just brought God into a relationship that he did not bless. And that's why it hurts. And what the devil does is the devil says, if I can get in and touch the very soul of your being, through this mechanism that God gave to make two one, if I can get in there and misuse that oneness of union of oneness, I can scrape and scar your God image. That's why little kids who were mistreated when they were little, God scraped them deep, and they're scarred for life. They get counseling to undo that scar from just one incident. Because God gave us a way to be one to the deepest core of who we are, and the devil says, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to not love that deep center of your soul. I'm going to hurt that deep center of your soul. So he's created all these ways that he can use sex to ruin somebody. And one of those ways is that he just convinces you you're old enough to be responsible for yourself and do it on your own. Don't be fooled. have sex with this person, this person, this person, or you're in a relationship for 3 years, another relationship for 3 years, and you're having sex over and over again, and he's scraping you, scraping you, scraping you, scraping you, get to the point where you don't care anymore. It's not a big deal. That's exactly what the devil wants. And then you wonder why, not always, but sometimes why you're distant from God. God says, I reserved that for your husband and your wife. And it just, you just beat it into the ground. It's not pure anymore. Now, can God restore your virginity? Yes. Can God cleanse you? Yes. But don't abuse that opportunity. Take advantage of it and cherish that opportunity. And by the way, if you don't get married, God is your husband. You're never left alone. The Lord has everything covered. Matter of fact, let's keep reading because I got the next one. Look at the next one. Number five, the oneness of sexual intimacy experienced in marriage is symbolic of biblical salvation and the fullest expression of the image of God. The fullest expression of the image of God comes not only when you're married, but when you're saved and the Holy Spirit is wrapped around your marriage and you're, but it is expression where two people become one. Now, I'm going to give you a little example. Groom, everyone say groom. Bride. All throughout the Bible, the groom is a guy and the bride is a woman. All throughout our life, the groom is a guy and the bride is a woman. Now, in the Bible, when a man got married to a woman, if he accused her, especially Old Testament, he accused her of not being a virgin, the dad had to bring evidence of virginity, which was blood on a sheet. If the woman was a virgin, she would bleed, and there would be evidence that she was a virgin, and that would verify that the marriage was a blood covenant. Say blood covenant. So what happens is, you got the bride and the groom, the bride comes down the aisle in a white dress, she's supposed to be pure, the brother got a black tuxedo on, he ain't trying to fool anybody, and so they got married, just trying to keep it real, and they get married, and then what happens, they come together, and they become one. The woman bleeds, it is a blood covenant. Everyone say blood covenant. Say groom, say bride, say marriage, say blood covenant, say two become one. All throughout the Bible, Israel or the church, Israel in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament is the bride. All throughout the Bible, God and Jesus is the groom. When the church or a Christian becomes one with your groom, it's called being saved, born again. It is a blood covenant. Jesus on the cross. So what God did is, I know I'm going to die for your sin. I know I'm going to be your savior, your groom. I'm going to die on the cross and shed my blood. But before I do that, I'm going to establish a bride and a groom, a husband and a wife, and they're going to have a blood covenant, and they're going to be a metaphor for my salvation. Every time you see a married couple, you are seeing a metaphor of your relationship with Jesus Christ. God set that up. God set that up. What the devil says, I got to destroy that. I have to poison that. So what he did, he created this thing called gay marriage. He says, it's not going to be Adam and Eve. It's going to be two guys, two girls. I was at a prison visiting. Make a long story short, I was asking these guards why there were fences through the yard, and they said these inmates came and stabbed them with knives that they were dipped in human feces. The reason they did that, because the human feces were poisonous. What the devil says is, I am going to poison your intimacy. I'm going to poison your intimacy. I am going to poison the very union that God set aside to represent him. I'm going to poison the very union that God set aside to represent him. He is evil. Now, the people who do this probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But here's the problem. Disease and death is rampant because that behavior is dangerous. They can't deny it. You can't deny it. Ask any physician. Matter of fact, look in your notes. Number six in your notes. Marriage promotes life for the raising of children by moms and dads. Number six says marriage promotes life. Number 6A, homosexuality as a lifestyle reduces life. Let me give you evidence of what I'm talking about. 1.4% of women are gay, 2.8% of men, but yet 70% of people with HIV are gay. Why? Because the behavior is dangerous and it goes against the design of how you were created. The behavior is dangerous. If you know someone's gay, you can foo-foo all this you want, but let me tell you something. They are engaging in behavior that is going to kill them. If you're gay, I plead to you to look around your community and look at all the people who are sick and dying. Why? Because the devil is playing you for a fool. He's telling you to do what you want to do, but he's killing you at the same time. Just look around. Just look around. Look at these stats. Gay youth, 4 times more suffered a major depression, 3 times more likely to suffer generalized anxiety disorder, 4 times more likely to experience conduct disorders, 4 times as likely to commit suicide, 5 times as likely to have nicotine dependence, 6 times as likely to suffer multiple disorder, and 6 times more likely to attempt suicide. And here's the last one, and you may have to rewrite this in your notes. It says it wrong, but on average, gay men, if you're gay in your 20s, you will die before you are 50. And then it says your lifestyle will remove 20 to 30 years of your life. Now, you can say what you want about what I'm saying, but you need to check this out. If you are 25, 30 years old and you are a gay man, you have to understand you will probably die before you're 50 just because of your lifestyle. Now, if God intended you to live that way, why is it killing you? The devil lied to you. You need to know this, and you need to tell the people you love this. Why? Because you're trying to rain on their parade? No, you're trying to save their life. Now, if you got people who just want to do what they want to do, there's nothing you can do. But none of us can just do what we want to do. That's just life. And all God is trying to do is give you a heads up. Let's keep reading so I can get out of here. Number seven, I think they wrote it wrong in the notes, but it says marriage and the image of God was given to the church, not the government. Marriage was given to the church. Everyone to the church. Say church. What if the government said, you can't do baptisms anymore in a lake? You have to do it only with a spray bottle. You would say, that's none of your business. What if the government says, you have to when you do communion, you can only use a Ritz cracker? That's none of your business. In the same way, when they say, here's how you need to do marriage, we say, that's none of your business. God gave marriage to the church. Why is the government coming in the church? You talk about separation of church and state? This is what separation of church and state is supposed to mean. They're coming and telling us how to do something. That's none of their business. Now, why do they have the right to do it? Because they just are taking it. That's it. We have a right, though, to vote and to exercise our right to vote and sign petitions and petition to the government. And that's what we're going to do. Let me get through this, and then we're going to go outside and do that. Same-sex marriage is an attack on the symbol of God's salvation. Marriage is designed for life. Marriage is designed to be a lifelong commitment. 8A, the average married couple, gay person, has 6 partners each year they are married other than their spouse. This is a life of promiscuity. 8B, 75% of self-identified gay men have 100 partners in their lifetime. Homosexual marriages last about 2 years, and this is studies done for marriages all around the world because they've been getting married all around the world, and there's other stats there that you can read. Let me say this to you. I'll say these 2 things before you leave. Number one, whatever you think about what I just said, here's what I would challenge you, is to decide and be very clear with yourself, what is the basis of your truth? If the basis of right and wrong for you is your feeling, please wake up, because that don't go right. That's little kids. Here's what I want, that's what I'm gonna get. That's just childish. You can't do that, that don't work. If the basis of your right is the majority, well, that's not the Bible. If your basis of truth is the Bible, then listen to the Bible. Now, if you say, I'm not listening to the Bible, that's fine. But let me just tell you, you're going to be wrong. Because in the end, when you die, you're going to stand before God. You ain't going to stand before the President of the United States. You ain't going to stand before the Mayor of San Diego. You ain't going to stand before yourself. You're going to stand before God. In the end, when God says, on February 10th, you were at the Rock, and you heard Miles say this. What'd you do with that information? We're trying to accomplish 2 things. Save our state from ridiculous perversion and the muting of churches and the moral decline of this culture. You imagine removing the church. If you remove the church, there is no voice of righteousness, then people do whatever they want. You got hell, anarchy coming. And you're also going to give a heads up to the people that you care about that think that they're okay. And you don't naively think it's the same. It's not. Just ask God. He's the one who created us. So that's my challenge to you. I'll leave you with this. A man in Massachusetts, his kindergarten child went to school. They were reading out of a book called King and King. The book is about a little boy, a little king, who had all these princesses come because he needed a wife. He decided not to want one of the princesses. He ended up having a thing for one of the princess's brothers. So he ends up marrying the brother, and it's called King and King because he ends up marrying this guy, and they kiss in the book. It's a little children's book, kindergarten. A man walks in and says, listen, I don't want my child learning this stuff, so I appreciate it if when you're going to teach this in the class, kindergarten, you tell me so I could take my child out. They say, oh, no, sir, I'm sorry, we can't do that. When your kid goes to school, they belong to the state. And we will teach your child whatever we want, whenever we want. We don't have to warn you about anything, and we're not going to warn you. He said, you don't understand. I'm not leaving the school until you promise me you're going to take my... They said, no, this is in Massachusetts last year. You know what they did? They arrested him. Let me just give you this visual. This is not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. When your kids go in that school, I just want you to imagine two demons, not the principal, not the teachers, no humans. I'm talking about spiritual beings standing in front of the door saying, thank you very much. We will give them back to you at 3 o'clock. And we will teach them exactly what we want them to know. That is what's happening. That is what's happening. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you for your mercy on us. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes up to reality, that we may understand the truth, that we may act accordingly. I pray that we would pray.